And we're going to, up here, think about Jesus has been exalted to the highest place and talk about this exaltation of him. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he did not simply go up, but a very profound heavenly event was taking place. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. And one of the most beautiful expressions of understanding this enemy thing is to realize that Jesus has triumphed over death, because he's raised from the dead, over sin, because he's the sacrifice for sin, and he has defeated and remove sin as far as the east is from the west, and over Satan he has thrown over. He has given him the mortal blow that Satan is no longer the power, but Jesus is the power. And he will rule from heaven on our behalf. So there's a profound heavenly event has taken place with Jesus going up. And the disciples, who became the apostles, began to try to unfold what was going on. They're the ones who have to carry the gospel story into the world, and they have to try to understand what this event really meant, that the Lord is the Lord of Lords. And part of that was to actually claim Jesus as their Lord, and they would not sacrifice to what was then a very accepted universal practice in the Roman world, is to worship their Caesar. You know, and if you didn't worship Caesar, you know, you were going to get persecuted. And they did. But that was part of unpacking that Jesus was had done, something had happened that was totally different. It changed everything. From the New Testament, we learn very clearly that Jesus was exalted to the highest place and now reigns over salvation history from there. He is, as this verse says in Psalm 97, verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. And when we say yes to Jesus and name him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we find ourselves in an everlasting kingdom. We are in an eternity. We are not just meant for this life. We are meant to live with Jesus in heaven, because he has gone into heaven to rule and reign there, and he is the first human to be entering heaven, because he has been, you know, he opens the way for all of us to come and be into the presence of God, to the holy throne room of the Lord. And we have a true home there with the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A wonderful verse, but it says we our true home is with him. But, this is the big but, your ministry and your mission are here. Amongst the flesh and blood that you have to live among. So you demonstrate your love for them in spite of everything. And you are to walk here in righteousness. You are to share your faith. You are to share your love. And you know, the foundation of God's love, we will not be shaken, as the young people were singing here, is a beautiful expression of that. We demonstrate our love for them in spite of all the circumstances that the world kicks up at us, that people kick up at us, that we have to endure and push through. So pray with me for a moment before we turn to Hebrews 7. Dear Lord, thank you that you continually minister to us by the Holy Spirit. We've seen your Holy Spirit working amongst us, Lord, through our whole worship. We lift up our voices in song to you, knowing that you are enthroned on the praises of your people. We're very, very thankful that you have given us the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who trains us and teaches us all the words of Christ, all the actions of Christ, so we can be his hands and feet in the world. Bless us in our time with the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the text is Hebrews 7, where he's talking about the priests of Israel, the priests of the temple on the earth. And then he transitions and he goes, now there have been many of those priests since death prevents them from continuing in office. They have been, you get to be a priest, you can say pastor, preacher. We get to be able to serve in the capacity of leading for a time, but then death stops your ministry, stops your work. But this is the contrast. Jesus, verse 24, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. He is our priest in heaven for us. Verse 25, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Listen to that verse, it's beautiful. He always lives to intercede for us, for all who come to God through Christ. Verse 26, such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, and pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. There's the phrase that I've picked out because it really expresses the ascension. He is exalted above the heavens, dwelling in the high place with God in the true temple. Temple on earth was merely trying to be some poor reflection of the temple in heaven. Temple is in heaven. That's where God rules and reigns. And that's where Jesus is serving a permanent, eternal priesthood. Verse 27, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He was, of course, holy, had no need to sacrifice for his own sins, but he sacrificed for our sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath of God, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. He is made perfect and reigns in heaven. So I don't know if you recently watched this coronation, but Charles and Camilla, the crown in their head in the United Kingdom. Perhaps you just yawned and turned the other way. That's fine. Some people are into it a lot. He has been highly exalted as king over the realm. That's what it's all about. It was a high pageantry and elaborate ceremonies and rituals. And there were many high and exalted figures from our world today present at his inauguration ceremony. He has been duly exalted to this position as king of the United Kingdom. And as an American, of course, I do turn and yawn in a way because I'm an American, you know. No American president goes to the inauguration because we broke away in 1776. After that, no American president goes to inauguration. You can send some dignitaries, but no official presence, unlike the heads of governments in other places. But now let's turn to our Lord. That's more important. It's what had happened to our Lord Jesus after he disappeared from the disciples' view? Is he now high and exalted in a regal position? And the answer is simply yes. He is. You see in Revelation that he is there in the exalted presence of our high and holy God. The Lamb is on the throne, and the angels are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty." And they are worshiping the Lamb who is slain and has laid down his life for us. There's powerful worship in heaven to the exalted Lord. And if you meet Lord Jesus in chapter 1 of Revelation, you meet an exalted Lord. You meet a Lord whose face is blazing like fire, whose eyes glow, who has golden sash. But I mean, he is exalted. Exalted. He is high. He's in heaven. And to him and to the Father are all glory, honor, and praise. So Philippians 2 verse 9 reminds us, therefore God exalted him, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name. Let me read that verse in Acts 1 where we hear about the ascension. After he spoke with the disciples, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go." He will come back. Praise the Lord. But he is high and exalted. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus, who was reigning in heaven with God, humbled himself, as Luke reminds us, Jesus talking to his disciples about who should be sitting at the right hand in heaven. He's talking to them and he says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And Philippians chapter 2 talks about Jesus relinquishing his place in the highest of heavens to come to earth, to be one of us, to serve and minister here in our earth, in our time, in our frame. And then he gets exalted back to the highest place where all of the humanity who belong to him, every man and woman, every boy and girl who says, "Jesus is my Lord," will be with him one day. Listen to Philippians 2, which reminds us to, as 1 Peter 5, 6, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Philippians 2 says, "Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, or to hold on to it, or to keep it. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Philippians chapter 2 is like they say, it's a hymn the early church sang, describes Jesus moving from heaven to earth and then moving back to heaven again. And so anyone who gives testimony with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, who are convicted in their heart that Jesus is our only Savior, and who in their mind declare his praises and give honor and glory to his name, are ones who belong to the Lord, the people who humble themselves like this. So Romans 10 verse 9, very simple verse, says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is our glory. This is the glory of a believer, knowing that this promise, this assurance is ours. And it is no accident that we have been singing. We are praising our Lord. We are exalting him. And the Bible says that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. As this Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "But you are holy, you who sit enthroned upon the praises of Israel." And we're saying the same thing for Jesus, the God of the Old Testament, and our Jesus of the New Testament. We are exalting and lifting him up on our praises. And he is enthroned on them. And he loves them. He loves our songs. He loves our worship. He deeply resonates with it. He has released music into our lives to empower the words that we sing so that we can give glory to God. We're going to be singing here in the later part of the service. And we're going to be singing this couple verses of this hymn. And we're going to say, "Lifted up was he to die. It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior." I repeat the phrase in the first verse I was singing. "Now in heaven exalted high," the ascension of our Lord, "hallelujah, what a Savior." That is our song. That is our peace. That is our privilege to be able to sing this. We sang that earlier. Now we're going to sing later, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne, and rejoice the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore, and they all lift up our hearts to the exalted Lord Jesus." We are all called to sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord with all your heart. Sing to the Lord to praise him and give glory and honor to his name. The Bible uses wonderful terms to describe how Jesus has now been positioned for this final climactic time of the harvest, the growth of the church, the great and fantastic ingathering. The Lord Jesus is enthroned, and what is going on now is a beautiful harvest time. The planting of churches, you know, in Davao, or this church planted and built from over the last 50 years. Churches started and being planted even now today around, and places to honor and bring glory to God, to give Him praise. Isaiah 52, verse 13 says, "Behold, my servant, he will prosper, he will be high, he will be lifted up, he will be greatly exalted." Isaiah 52, verse 13. There's another paraphrase of that in another translation, NIV. "See, my servant will act wisely." That's the prospering. You prosper when you act wisely, when you're doing things well. The Lord has given us wisdom and insight to do things well, to do them to the best of our ability. That's why we have a big radio station down there, TWR, transmitting to billions of people. That's why we have churches and schools and orphanages planted down in Davao. That's why we're going to join a church plant in Cebu. Why there's even a Rise Up Foundation of someone acting wisely to bring help to the poorest of the poor. And we're being called. When we're asking young people to learn how to be more wise in what they do, both to grow their character inside and to be able to do like a railing job where you use these power tools safely and you use them well and you expend yourself. But also on a hot day, come inside and have some cooling breaks, you know, the air conditioning going, and drink a lot of water and keep your yourself well in the conditions in which you're working. The Lord will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, Isaiah 52. And then Isaiah 57 says, this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. This is God. He says, "I will dwell in the high and holy place, and with the contrite and lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the hearts of the contrite." That verse reminds us of Philippians 2. The Lord Jesus is dwelling in the highest and the holy place, but he is with the contrite and lowly of heart. He comes to be one of us, and he comes in humility to us, our Lord Jesus. He speaks to us heart to heart. Speaks to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our joys and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's with us when we are humble and put our hearts with the Lord. He has, there's intention and purpose in the Lord being raised up and being high and holy. The intention and purpose is so that he can empower us to go forth in our ministry. Our Lord of glory is in glory now, but will not just stay away. He is drawing things to a conclusion of his own making. Now, I struggle hard to find a good kind of illustration of this. There are a lot of different pictures of a plan of salvation, but I thought this was pretty good. It's hand-drawn. It's really nice, though. It says, basically, we go proclaim the gospel so they hear it, and then people come to believe it, and then they need to repent and confess and be baptized. And then you're saved into the church. You're part of the body of Christ. And then you're being trained and equipped to go forth on your way to heaven with virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, and of course all the fruits of the Spirit, love and peace and patience and self-control. But this is a growing path in which you are being discipled and trained in these good things. God's plan of salvation. Jesus is administering this plan. He is in heaven interceding for us. He is saying, "I'm going to cheer for you as you are on the edge, not knowing what the gospel is. I'm going to be with you as you learn what the gospel has to say to you. I'm going to be with you as you are trained and you go, and I'm going to help you find your purpose. I will help you find your purpose." Our Lord Jesus calls us. While he is waiting for the time when he returns, he calls us to be bold, to be persevering, to incarnate ourselves into this world like he did, and become a person of quality This is describing a person of quality, kind of person you want to be with. Won't you accept God's plan? I love that question at the end. God has a plan, and He will give you everything you need to carry it out. And what He's calling us to do is go out into the world. Jesus lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf, but He's calling us to be His hands and feet. He calls us to remember that Christ incarnated Himself into the world. It's a beautiful illustration of just ordinary people coming together, a guy playing his flute, bringing worship, the angels singing in heaven over the shepherds. The shepherds are coming. The animals are attentive and they're listening. Jesus is born, and Mary and Joseph have made the home for Him. He's incarnated. We have to be incarnated into our world. That's what the thing is. You know, I'm sitting in Grand Rapids. I get an email from Kim, and will you come to Guam to pastor a church? Well, it's the other side of the world, as you know, Paul was talking about, the other side of the world. What are you going to come to Guam for? Guam? What do you want to go to Guam for? It doesn't even compute. That doesn't seem to fit you and Hillary. But, you know, God was calling, and you have to be incarnate. In order to carry out a ministry, you have to come and be here. So we had to come and be here in Guam to be able to carry on a ministry on behalf of this church for the glory of Jesus Christ. Incarnation. It's what He's calling us. So that we can become the hands who do the work of God. We cannot preserve our faith in our own closet. It must be a faith that is lived and proven by sharing our gifts with the world. Do not be afraid of it. The presence and aroma of Jesus Christ goes with us whatever place we are, and we are the ones who bring the presence of Christ through what we do, what we say, through what we think, and what we sing, and what we say. You know, it's all part of the same package. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank You. This morning hour that we could remember our Lord Jesus ascended into the highest of heavens. We're thanking You, Lord, that we can sing about this crowning Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. And we can sing, Lord, that You are the King, and we rejoice because of that, but we are called to be Your hands in this world. Help us, Lord. Thank You for the purposes we fulfilled and for the purposes we can still accomplish. Lord, it's never too late. Help us to always be making new beginnings in the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.